Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. And today is Thursday, July 22nd, 2021. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever discovered or been introduced to in my 47 years of doing therapy. Gratefully, these tools are available absolutely free at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, it will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. His book is titled, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And that chapter of that book contains a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for over 17 years to improve the quality of my life and most of my relationships. It's also a tool that helps me move effectively from any negative emotional experience and transform that into part of the infallible guidance system that we've each been gifted. You can also download the actual worksheet itself. It's a PDF file. Absolutely free. Click on the link, download it, print it off, and use it as often as you'd like. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness and get access to a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that worksheet process, and a copy of the Dragon Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. You can also download a host of audio files of shows just like this one where people have been stepped through the worksheet process or given powerful testimonials about how the use of the worksheet process has improved their life. Or perhaps some of those shows contain discussions of the dynamics behind how such a simple tool can be so powerful and effective. And we encourage people to go to that website, download those things, read them, go to your app store, get the app and try it out. We encourage this soon and often because it frequently results in people having questions or answers or comments or testimonials. And if you have that, give us a call at 563-999-3581 and press 1. It'll put a question mark by your phone number and I'll announce you by your area code. Alternatively, you could send an email to Jeannie at J-E-A-N-I-E. at whyagain.org, or you can send an email to me at tjh at mindshifters-academy.org. When we get those emails, we read them, and we attempt to answer them in the next possible show, and there is the discussion about those questions is available then in the archives, and the archives is another powerful tool and resource that's available absolutely free. You can go to whyagain.org, whyagain.org, and click on the picture of the microphone. And that will take you to a page where you can get access to the past 10 years plus of internet shows. The files are available absolutely free for review. And for the first 8 years, it was 5 days a week, 1 hour a day, and for the last 2 years plus, it's been 5 days a week, 2 hours a day. The intention with all of that effort, time, intelligence, money, and energy, is to be of service. And if there is any way we can be of service to you, that would help us fulfill our intention. And you can let us know how we might be of service to you by calling 563-999-3581 or sending us an email. Today is a Thursday, which means we're going to have a Mind Shifter support group tonight from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Central Time. And the information about how to join us, absolutely free if you're so inclined, is at mindshiftersacademy.org. I like to remind people that there are two separate pages, one for the login for Tuesday group and one for the login for Thursday group. We have had times when people have mistakenly tried to log in on the opposite day with the wrong login material, and they don't do very well with that. So please, if you're going to pass this information along, or if you're going to plan to join us yourself, use the information to log in on the appropriate day. Also on mindshiftersacademy.org, there is a page that talks about books, books that we've discussed on the Mind Shifters radio podcast. Originally it was called a radio show or an internet show, and these days they've matured to the point where they're calling them a podcast. And there's a list of books we've talked about, everything from The Empath Survival Guide by Judith Orloff, Life Strategies for Sensitive People, the book In an Unspoken Voice by Peter Levine, How the Body Releases Trauma and Restores Goodness, Welcoming the Unwelcome by Pema Chodron, Healing Depression Without Medication by Jody Skillicorn, When Things Fall Apart by Pema Chodron, Necessary Endings by Dr. Henry Cloud. The list goes on. Anatomy of an Epidemic by Robert Whittaker, and Jesus, My Autobiography, 365 Blessings to Heal Myself and the World, Proof of Heaven by Eben Alexander, Leadership and Self-Deception by the Arbinger Institute, A Course in Miracles Made Easy, The Tao Made Easy, The Surrender Experiment by Michael Singer, The Untethered Soul by Michael Singer. The list goes on. The Eagle and the Swan by Shen, Dying to Be Me, My Journey from Cancer to Near Death to True Healing by Anita Morjani, and the book by James and Steph Purpura, Perception, Seeing is Not Believing. So there are books by Matt Kahn on that list, and Anthony DeMello, or DeMello. So we have talked about a lot of things over the past 10-plus years, and all of it is open for discussion. I thought today one of the things I would do that we haven't done in a while is go to the new whyagain.org website and click on the Start Here link and scroll down and discuss some of the many different worksheets that are there. Now, we talk a lot on the show about the core tool in this work, which is called the Reality Management Worksheet. And if you go to that page and scroll down, it's, as I said, there are lists of shows that have been curated out from the archives specifically because they've been very well received, or some people have said, wow, this is a highlight show, I need to have access to it to listen to it again and again. There's a link to the Forgiveness app, and there's a section that says learn what tools to use when, and then other worksheets. So there's the Beatitudes poster, the codependency worksheet. And the codependency worksheet is a worksheet that has you list. On the left-hand side, you can either download it or you can make your own on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper turned landscape. And on the left-hand side, the upper left corner, you write, people who have offended me, and you draw a line, and then you list everybody that's ever offended you. And the next column over, you make another column for what they did to offend you, the nature of their offense. They bullied you, they lied, they stole from you, they cheated on you, etc. The next column you're heading is, what are my punishment thoughts? What is it that I think I would like to do or that should happen to these people because they offended me in one way or another? And then the next column is headed, titled, my advice to them. And here's my advice. You know, this person lied. My advice to them is that they always tell the truth. This person stole my property, and my advice is, you know, they should only use their own property. They should respect other people's property, et cetera. And so there's a column on the far right that's not, doesn't have a heading yet. And what you're instructed to do in this worksheet is make a list of the people who've offended you, and then come back and start listing what they did to offend you, and then list what your punishment thought is for them, and then list what your advice is for them. So that, let's say you've got 8 or 10 people on this list, and then you write their offense, what they did to you, what your punishment thought is for them, and what your advice is to them. And you do that for all 8 to 10 people, and then you come back, and the last column, you title it, how I'm going to apply my advice to them in my life. And in that last column, if you're really serious about healing your life and having a better life, you will write how you're going to try to apply every piece of advice you give somebody else in your life. Because the observation in this work is that it's all an inside job, and no one has ever offended me or hurt me, my true nature, in any way. Nothing of value can be taken from me, and nothing of value can be added unto me. And so, when I create a perception that says they did this horrible thing and that's causing my upset, when my mind comes up with an advice for them, that is going to be the perfect advice for me in my life. It might also be good for them, and it will be perfect for me. So if I really want to improve the quality of my life, there's another powerful tool that Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice make available. It's called the Codependence Interdependence Worksheet. There's also a page with a listing of the commitments. The commitment is a powerful tool to use in relationship. It's a tool that people can read to each other, or they can unilaterally read it to their partner. It basically says, I promise to trust you enough to tell you the truth and be true to you. I commit to always be sweetness in your life, to nurture you daily and treat you lovingly, gently, and with respect in my thoughts, words, and actions, whether I'm in your presence or not. In every interaction, I commit to affection for you, to look for and acknowledge the highest and best in you, and to surrender to love, our true nature. My connection to my source, my relationship with you, and our serenity will always be more important than any issue. As such, I open my heart to embrace you in my love, and I open my heart to be embraced in your love. Furthermore, if anything unlike love comes up, I will hold this in my heart and listen as I learn to speak, experience, and be responsible for my own realities. I am here for you and with you. I promise to keep communication open and keep love conscious, active, and present as we heal, celebrate life, and grow together. So there are some critical things to be pointed out when I give that to people, the first thing is the hardest part is right up front. I promise to trust you enough to tell you the truth and be true to you. In our culture, what we're taught about relationship, what we're taught about privacy, what we're taught about individuality really smacks of have your privacy, keep your secrets, don't tell people things if you think they're going to be offended, etc. And all of that is based on the false belief that I am responsible for other people's realities. All of that is based on not understanding the difference between, as Michael Rice talks about it, a reality, which is a picture that my mind creates, and an actuality, which is what's actually happening in the world. So if we have five people in a room and a series of events take place, there was one actuality in that room. Five people were there and these events occurred. However, there will be, without any doubt, five separate realities created by the five individuals who were in that room. And none of them will be exactly alike. There might be quite a bit of overlap, especially if people are relatively healthy, and yet each one of us is only always and forever creating our own experience of life through the process of perception, which is highly active, proactive on our parts. It is not a passive thing. We don't just open our eyes and see everything that's there. The next thing is the idea that my serenity, my connection to my source and our serenity will be more important than any issue. This is not what we're taught. Most of us are taught to fight for being right and to win arguments and convince other people. And this is, the root of this in this commitment tool leads me to helping people understand it is so critical if I'm going to be in a relationship with another human being who's busy creating his or her own realities as separate from mine, even if we're in the same room together and I think we're noticing the same things and I think we're interpreting them the same way. We're not. We most of the time are not. And the vast majority of times that we have disagreements, it's because of the differences between the reality I'm creating in my mind and the reality the other person is creating in his or her mind. And the last paragraph talks about how I will hold us in my heart and listen as I learn to speak, experience, and be response-able for my own abilities or my own realities. Meaning here once again is the reinforcement that I'm the one creating everything I experience. I'm creating my own emotions. I'm even creating my perception of the world around me. And whenever I get into a pattern where I decide I want to blame or accuse someone else for what I'm experiencing, there's my next piece of work. It's not going to go very well. So the next tool on the list is the love exchange. And I recommend that people do that soon and often. Many people don't even understand what it is, but the concept is I go inside myself, I get in touch with the most loving energy, memories, thoughts, vibrating energies of love and safety and strength and compassion that I have within me, and then I visualize sending that out my eyes, either to myself in the mirror or to my partner. And in that exchange, my partner, if I have a live partner, will try to do various things to tune into, to feel if there is something they can sense physically, energetically, emotionally, as I'm sending that loving energy. And then there is the responsibility communication rules, which is from the lecture, communication. Did you hear what I think I said? And it's quite a useful tool to help me map out what I'm doing with my thought and how I'm creating with my thought, a level of perception. And the primary use of that tool for me is for myself. Most of the time when I do that tool, I don't end up sending it to the other person. I use it as a reminder of the different ways that I'm creating my own upset. And in those rare circumstances where I'm actually engaged in a relationship with somebody that I trust and respect, and I might ask them for their input, I can then go ahead and share this with them, because the essence of it is my goal is to heal. And I pick up a tool like the Reality Management Worksheet or the communication, the responsibility communication tool, when I realize I'm not feeling the love, I'm not feeling connected to my true nature. And then there's the Mind Goal Management Worksheet, the Mind Shifters tool and rules for that, a list of the physiological effects of emotional suppression. There's the 5 smooth stones and 5 things human will can do, which, you know, the spiritual faculty of reason or choice is mirrored by the world's fake copy of resonance. The spiritual faculty of will is mirrored by the world's fake copy of willpower. The spiritual faculty of intuition, or the inner tutor, is mirrored by the world's fake copy of psychic. The spiritual faculty of imagination is mirrored by the world's cheap copy of fantasy. And the spiritual faculty of true perception, the enlightened true perception, or being able to perceive actuality, is mirrored by the world's cheap copy of perception, what we normally refer to as perception, which is almost always related, as it's used in the Western world, to what my senses are showing me, or what I can be aware of with my 5 senses. So there's a Mind Shifters List tool. There's a Mind Shifters List for women healing women. There's a personal code evaluation feedback sheet. There's a Power Person Worksheet. And the Power Person Worksheet's a relatively new tool. I list who I think my Power Person is, and I write, what did I perceive to be my Power Person's needs? And then I write, what did I do to try and meet my Power Person's needs? And then I write, what did I perceive I had to give up in order to meet my Power Person's needs? And then I write what my definition of how to love, what it became. What's my definition of what it means to love based on my Power Person dynamic? And then I write how this has played out in my relationships. So this tool helps me map out a dynamic that I downloaded when I was younger, usually, or in a situation where somebody had more power over my life than I did, and that person who had the power over my life did not act from the space of love, and I came to believe if I didn't get it right, I wasn't going to survive. So I came to label this as a survival situation, and my download at that time, the energetic download of all these energies, sights, sounds, physical sensations, thoughts, etc., becomes my Power Person dynamic, which when it's activated when I'm older, gives me just 3 basic response patterns. When my stress is low, I can be the loving, gentle, funny, extroverted or introverted, whatever kind of person I was when things were getting along, when I was getting along just fine with my Power Person and my Power Person was happy. When my stress level as an adult gets to be the moderate level, medium, then it's just like flipping a switch and my response pattern becomes what I used to do as a child or whenever I was younger to try and resist and survive when my power person began doing the things that I hated the most. And then when my stress level as an adult goes to a high level, which sometimes can happen in less than a breath, then I immediately, like a flip of a switch, no choice involved, I flip into doing the very kinds of behaviors that my power person did that I hated the most, and my mind is going to serve up for me every possible rationalization for why that's important for me to do. Completely ignoring that every time my power person did that when I was younger, I hated it, and I used to swear I would never do that to anybody, and I used to rant up and down that no one should ever be treated like that. But in the trick of the mind, with the power person dynamic activated, I instantly begin to do the very kinds of things that my power person did to me that I hated the most, and my mind convinces me that it's not just okay, but it's really the only reasonable thing to do at this time. So, powerful set of tools and worksheets. There's the purpose worksheet from Purpose, Personal Power, and Commitment, where I map out my secondary purpose. And I do that by listing 10 things I'm naturally good at, 10 things I absolutely love to do, completely independent of whether or not I can make money at them or the culture around me or my family thinks it's valuable. And then I write a narrative summary, a brief narrative summary of how I think the world's going to look through my eyes when the world is perfect. And then after I have those two lists and that narrative description, then I make a statement that says, I now choose to use one, two, or three things from the first list as I do one, two, or three things from the second list, as a way of helping the world become this, whatever my narrative description is. And when I use that on a regular basis, especially if I'm about to endeavor or engage or commit any significant amount of my time, intelligence, money, or energy, my life starts to get better by leaps and bounds. I will be on purpose. I will be more focused. I will have more satisfaction in my life. I will feel as though my life has commitment and purpose to it, and I will effectively achieve more things because my energy is focused rather than scattered. There's the symptoms of healing list and how to tell if you're experiencing something physically, mentally or emotionally that's uncomfortable, how can you tell if it's a sign of healing, what some in the homeopathic realm might call a healing crisis, because sometimes when they give homeopathic remedies to people, the symptoms they came to the doctor for get worse before they get better, so they call it a healing crisis. And the energy that was going into the system doesn't belong there, was uncomfortable on the way in, and it's going to be uncomfortable on the way out. And the healing crisis can look like physically anything that I experienced as a physical symptom. Any physical symptom I've ever had and low energy, because it takes a lot of energy to process out that negative energy. Mentally, it's any negative thought I've ever had and confusion. So I need to open myself up to question everything I thought I knew so old information can leave and new information can mix in. And emotionally, the symptoms look like any negative emotion I've ever had and depression. Now the question is, how do I know when I'm miserable if it's a healing process I'm experiencing or just somehow or another I'm engaging in more negative energy? And the four criteria are, if I've been doing more of the right things in my life, have I been using some kind of emotional, mental, emotional processing, have I been eating good food, getting sleep, taking care of myself, getting decent exercise, etc. The second criteria is, did I have a new level of vitality just before I became symptomatic? And that relates to the idea that when I have a low vitality, my higher awareness knows, well, Tim doesn't have the energy to process out a bunch of his deeper toxins and traumas, whether they're emotional traumas or toxins or, you know, buildup of negative energies in the body from garbage eating, et cetera. So when my vitality increases, my higher awareness goes, oh, good, Tim's got more energy now. Now we can get rid of some of those deeper, more intense emotional, mental and emotional and physical traumas. Third criterion is, what's happening with my elimination? And if my elimination has increased, if I'm sweating more, if my bowels are moving more, if I'm urinating more, perhaps I'm getting rashes and toxins are leaving through the skin, that's an indication that I'm moving energies out. And then the last one is one that's often missed when people discuss this. Am I craving the drug of choice or the behavior or the food or the interaction with the person that I use as a drug of choice to numb me out to my discomfort or distract me from my discomfort? And so those are the ways that I can tell if the negative experiences I'm having are part of a healing crisis or just more of the same negative energy in. And then the next item on the list is the three early memories of conflict, and that's one of the more powerful and useful tools in this list. You know, if I were to say, if somebody were to ask me, what are the top three or top five, this would be in the top three, the three early memories of conflict. And that's because in combination with the reality management worksheet and the mind shifter tool, the three early memories of conflict has routinely been for me a wellspring of good information, and leading to better worksheets and leading to better mind shifters and leading to better understanding of how I've engaged in some unhealthy patterns and labeled it as necessary or somebody else's fault. And the concept with the three early memories of conflict is right in line with people like Diedrich Wolsack and Bruce Lipton, who say, you know, essentially in the first 7 or 8 years of life, we download our traumas, our emotions, our patterns, our beliefs about ourselves and the world, and then the rest of our lives, whenever those energies get triggered into activity, they drive our behavior. And so the three early memories will have me list three early memories. They don't have to be the earliest upsets in my life, but three early memories of conflict, and I write number one, number two, number three. And then I go back and I fill in, okay, so when I was 5 years old, my first episode was when I was 5 years old, and somebody embarrassed me at a birthday party. So I go back and I interview my five-year-old self, and I ask, okay, Tim, little five-year-old Tim, what would you say life is right now? How would you define yourself? I am what? What are you feeling right now? What emotion do you have? How would you say people are right now? What would you say about what relationships are right now? What would you say you must do right now? Or what is it you say you need right now or that you want right now? How do you want to punish somebody else or how do you want to punish yourself right now? And I fill in those blanks and then I do it for each of the three memories of conflict, and then I go back and review. And when I first did it, it was much to my surprise, and now it's just as common as breathing that I see, oh my gosh, that's exactly the same kind of response I have today when somebody presents a conflictual situation or disagrees with me or wants to criticize me or attacks me or is trying to attack somebody else in my presence. And instead of acting from an adult, high intelligence, well-educated, mature coping mechanism type response, I'm basically just replaying the patterns that I downloaded in the first few to 10 or 15 years of my life. And when I first encountered that tool and used it, it was mind-boggling. It was shocking. And now I fully expect to just get more revelations every time I go back through the tool. Slight tweaks to the response patterns that have become basically rationalizations of, you know, how I respond in the world, rather than being able to maintain my perspective and my, you know, professional training and my coping mechanisms when the earlier memories of trauma get triggered into activity. I lose the capacity to access my higher coping mechanisms. And the more I can do reality management worksheets around that, and the more I can explore the dynamics that underlie that with reality management worksheets, the more I can release and dismantle those energies so that they no longer drive my behavior. So that's my extended intro for today, running through a list of the tools at whyagain.org. And we have plenty of time for comments, questions, answers, soliloquies, 20 minutes or so, 563-999-3581. How can we support you? What's your question or your comment? Or if you've been to that website and used those tools, what's your favorite tool? Or what's a question you have about any of those tools and how to make them more effective or relevant? So, how can we support you today? We have 20 minutes left. What's on your mind? 563-999-3581. Call that number and press 1. I got the news yesterday that 3 more people have agreed to be interviewed. So if you've read a good book, or if you've got a favorite podcaster, or if you've followed somebody on a blog that is very informative and is at all related to spiritual growth or personal growth, please let me know. Send me an email at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org or give us a call, 563-999-3581. I was graced yesterday with the acceptance by Robert Whitaker, who has written the book Mad in America and the book Anatomy of an Epidemic. He's agreed to be interviewed. I was also graced with a response from Jim Gottstein, who's the attorney who wrote the book The Zyprexa Papers. He's agreed to be interviewed. And I've been graced by responses from 2 other women who have been referred to me who have agreed to be interviewed, and I'm looking forward to, both of them have been through their own mental health crises and become either master's or doctorate level individuals working in large organizations and being advocates for mental health and and survivors of mental health crises. So, if you know somebody like that that you think would be a great interview either for Mindshifters Radio or for the Journey's Dream podcast that's titled On Your Mind, please let me know. I will follow up and let you know how it goes. I'm in a position where I never expected someone as well-known as Robert Whittaker would agree to be interviewed for our little podcast, but he has, and so that's something to look forward to. And I will, as seems fitting, make some of those interviews available here on Mindshifters Radio after they've been published on the On Your Mind podcast, and especially those that I can fit within the hour so I can convert the files and get them uploaded. So, how can we support you? How would you like to spend the rest of today's podcast, 18 minutes or so? Area code 808, you're in the air. Who do we have?
This is Roma Carlisle, Tim. How are you?
Oh, Roma, I'm well. How are you? Long time no hear from you.
Yeah. I was awakened this morning, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. These callers, this one said, your bank account has been discovered to be illegal. It was crazy. So I hung up on him, and of course it was a recorded voice. And then an hour later, the same message was coming from a different number. So I've been blocking each time a call like that comes in. But there's so many calls nowadays. Oh my gosh! I don't know. Do you ever get a lot of crank calls like that?
I get my share.
Yeah. It seems to me that we have more now than we used to have before. But I had a very, very intense, uncomfortable dream last night. I woke up and realized that it was perfect fodder for a worksheet. And when I got down to the part of the sheet where perfect love, at the very end of the sheet, Dr. Michael Rice, a few days ago, a week or so ago, just offhandedly defined perfect love as Rachma and Kuba. And it was interesting because when I was thinking about Rachma and Kuba, as I was about to fill in the little square after the word perfect truth, perfect love, I couldn't remember the intention at Rachma and Kuba being perceptions and intentions. And it took me the longest time to remember intentions. And then I finally did. But I found myself wondering, I know that one of these things, either perception or intention, is at the base of the brain, right at the top of the spine. And the other one is in the frontal lobes of the brain.
So
do you know which is which?
Perception is Kuba, and that's in the back of the brain. There's a filter in the front of the brain and a filter in the back of the brain. Each of them can be set either to hostility or fear, or in the front of the brain it can be Rachma, and in the back of the brain it can be Kuba. And so intentions are in the front of the brain, and perceptions are in the back of the brain. And he says, intentions are the raw materials of goals. And so when I have Rachma set, it allows only intentions keyed to love to be used as the building blocks of my goals. And since I don't do any behavior, Rachma is intentions.
Kubha is perceptions.
Kubha is perception.
Good. Yeah. Well, that's good. So, thank you. I needed that little... I have been doing this work for 30 years, but that was one thing that I really had not actually nailed down was which one was
where. You can nail it down permanently by going to whyagain.org, click on the Start Here link in the upper left-hand corner, and then scroll down about, you know, near the top of the ongoing list, or maybe halfway through the list, of these worksheets, right below the physiological effects of emotional suppression, you can click on the link that says Getting the Stress Schematics of the Mind. And there is a schematic that's all drawn out where it shows intentions and rachma and perceptions and kubha. And it talks about fear, hostility, or kubha, and fear, hostility, or rachma. And some explanation on that page, so you can print that out and you won't get confused again.
That's great. Thank you very much. I'm not really very computer oriented. In fact, I'm very overwhelmed by too much information. So I appreciate. Where is it exactly?
I'll tell you what.
The website. And I go to the upper left-hand and start here.
Do you have an email?
Yeah.
Do you have an email?
Yes, yes.
Does Jeannie Rice know your email?
Oh, I don't. Yeah.
If you send her your email, she could simply email you this PDF. And then you don't have to go searching through. But it is in the list of worksheets. On whyagain.org.
Oh, it's in list. Okay.
It's in the list of
worksheets. Well, it wouldn't hurt me to actually really genuinely acquaint myself with the website. I've been so overwhelmed by it that I haven't ever done it. What was it? Where is it in? You said it's
well,
in
if
worksheet.
You go to the first page, if you go to the first page and click on the link that says Start Here, once your page,
you
once your computer opens that up,
I'm very familiar with that step.
Well, then you just scroll down. There's no clicking on anything. You just scroll down past the Heartland Forgiveness app, past the Bill Costantino video, past the apology tool and the responsibility communication rules, and right below the one that says physiological effects of emotional suppression, there the next link says getting the stress you need or getting the stress schematics of the mind, three filters.
Yeah, I wrote that down. That's good. Okay. All right. Thank you so much. That'll be good for me. To learn how to do. I appreciate
it. Well, we lost Roma. I would say something for Roma's benefit, but she won't be able to hear it. So hopefully she'll call back in. And we can work with anybody else who's got a question or a comment. We just had somebody show up in the chat room. And so feel free to type in a question. Having a few technical difficulties here. We're back, I hope. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. Roma has called back in. Roma, are you there?
Oh, yes. I got disconnected too, so
You were in the middle of saying something and you just dropped off.
Oh, I see.
So
well,
I heard thank you for the information about where to get the schematics of the mind, and then you were in the middle of saying something else and we couldn't hear you.
Oh, well, I felt complete, so I wasn't terribly dismayed that the phone cut off, but I did want to hear the rest of the program. I looked at the clock to see, well, what time is it anyway? So I called back in. I was lucky.
All right.
My phone is now working after all several months of not being able to access the show without going through very
All right, so I will mute you so you can listen, and I thank you for the call.
Maybe there's another caller.
I don't. I have 9 minutes left, and only somebody in the chat room, and four or five or six callers. Some of them keep dropping, so I don't know if we're having technical difficulties. So is there another question or comment you have? I thought I heard you say you were complete.
Yeah, well, but I am fascinated by the fact that you are having these interviews with all these various prominent people who are making beautiful contributions to our awareness in the world. I think that's a wonderful project, and somehow I've never tuned in to hear any of these interviews in
Roma, you're breaking up. Let me just say that you can access those at journeysdream.org/podcast.
Okay.
All one word, journeysdream.org/podcast.
Right. I wrote that down. Journey's Dream, I had written down a little earlier. So, good. I will check that out because I agree with you, though, probably. I can't imagine anyone being able to get any deeper to the source of truth for human consciousness than we have found with the why is this happening to me.
Are you there?
Can you hear me?
You were fading in and out again. Are you there?
It's interesting. Yeah, no, I just heard the sound muted and then unmuted, so.
Yeah, I tried that to see if it would clear up the signal because
I was losing the
content of what you were saying. Something about going deeper into consciousness, and I couldn't,
yeah.
I was losing every
second
or third word.
Oh, okay, I'll try it again. I really appreciate everyone on this planet who's doing work to be able to lift planetary consciousness, and I feel that we've been very, very fortunate in discovering the why is this happening to me again work, because my experience is that that gets right to the heart of the matter and cleans that mess up in human consciousness faster than anything else, anybody else's techniques,
anything
even though there are
discovered.
Millions of good techniques out there. Could you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, and I just added anything that you've yet discovered. So thank you for that.
Yeah, I
happen to agree, and that's why I'm investing all this time and energy into this. So.
Yeah, I know, and I appreciate that very much, Tim. It's so nice that, you know, that you're doing that, handling some of the calls that are coming in. So appreciate that very much. Thank you, Tim.
Well, you're very welcome and deserving. I'm going to go ahead and mute you because it's kind of breaking up as you're speaking, but I thank you for the call. I appreciate hearing from you. Glad you're doing well, and I hope you get access to that schematic and, if you're so inclined, to the over 60 interviews that are available at journeysdream.org/podcast. So we have 5 minutes left for a question or a comment. 563-999-3581. And here's someone in the chat room. And we have plenty of time in our next hour. Michael and Jeannie will be here, so maybe you want to queue up a question or a comment for them. And I'll just remind us that we do have a support group that's happening tonight from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Central. It's available absolutely for free through Zoom. You can find out all the login information at mindshiftersacademy.org. And there's a separate login page for each, the Tuesday and Thursday group. So let us know how we can support you, what's your question or comment, or join us for the group tonight, or pass that information along to somebody you think might be interested. In the groups, we usually listen to 1 hour of some teacher, and or we end up doing all processing through the entire hour and a half or 2.5 hours. A week ago Tuesday, that's what happened. We had 2 people actually do worksheets and 1 person just do a lot of intense processing. So it's a wonderful way to tap into a support community and get more familiar with the power of these tools and the ways to use them to improve the quality of your life and relationships. So by all means, if you're available, join us and or pass that information along to somebody that you think might benefit from it. And we're getting ready for our 2nd hour today. Apparently Michael and Jeannie are back from their travels and ready to entertain your comments or your questions. So feel free to call. And I will be back again tomorrow. It looks as though on Monday there will be a pre-recorded show, a best of kind of thing, or maybe one that's never been shown before, because I will be occupied with family duties, and then I'll be here all the rest of the week as far as I know. So get your comments and questions in while we're here live. Jeannie's here and ready to take over. Welcome, Jeannie Rice.
Thank you, Dr. Tim. I appreciate it. And I put a link. I heard you talking about the physiological effects of emotional suppression. Was that the one, or were you the schematics of the mind?
I did them both.
Oh, okay.
I basically went through the entire list of worksheets.
Okay. All righty. Well, I
want another monologue day, and so I thought, and I had decided to do this a few days ago, but then we had a caller, so I just scrolled down that page and listed almost every worksheet and discussed them and how they could be used. So
awesome. Okay. Well, I've got links to that as well on the notes for today, and I'm a little behind getting the notes up. I have been taking them, but it's just been a little bit crazy.
Well, bless your heart. Hope it goes well. Hope you have a wonderful show. I'll just remind us all that we come from love. We're made of this stuff we call love. We actually are love, and everything else is false. Take it away, Jean.
Thank you. All righty. Welcome to the 2nd hour of Mindshifters Radio. Today is Thursday, July the 22nd, 2021. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And press 1, and that puts you into queue. And we'd love to hear your comments and questions, because that makes this your show. And I'm going to fill in for the first little bit of the show. Michael is taking the U-Haul truck back and getting it unloaded in a storage unit, what was left. And so I told him I would cover until he was able to stop and get online. So did get an email from a young lady earlier, a couple days ago, and I told her to call into the show. She's new to the work. She just kind of stumbled onto the forgiveness work and really liked it, but she was kind of lost in it. And so I'm hoping that she calls in and presses 1 so that we can assist her in doing that work. So if you have any questions or you want to talk about a particular area of something, press 1 and let me know, and we'll take off on it. Makes it a whole lot easier when we have comments. All right, I have a hand up. It's area code 480. You're on the air. Who do we have?
Yeah, Jeannie, hi. Hi, Michael. My dogs are saying hi, too. Okay.
Oh.
How are you? So I did listen to the show yesterday. You were off yesterday, so there was a recording of a show. Is that correct?
Monday and Tuesday, we were driving back, and so we actually played Getting the Stress You Need on both of those days. part one and part two.
Okay, because I did dial in yesterday and I did listen to the show, so I have a question about that.
All right, go for it.
All right, so hold on here. Can't put them out into 120 degree weather. Okay, so anyway, all right, so I went on to the, I listened to it, and I've heard it many times, but this time for some reason it clicked. I think it's because, well, actually what clicked was the goal management worksheet and setting goals, I mean, whatever, framing, setting. And I've heard it on the, I actually have a VHS, that's how old it is, many, many times. And I never was inspired to do it. I think what inspired me to start yesterday after hearing that was that I heard on the intensive videos that you bring up, I think you bring up setting goals on that. Anyway, my brain cells are growing, and I picked it up there, and I picked it up on the recording yesterday. So I did go on the website, your website, and I found the worksheet. So I have a question on that. And the question is, now this is the confusing part. Each evening, check off, this is the in parentheses that I have confusion. It says, each evening, parentheses, check off from yesterday's sheet. What am I checking off in the evening? And yesterday, today.
Okay, hold on. Don't go into another question yet. Hold on.
Okay.
Let's do one at a time.
Okay.
All right.
Sure.
So this worksheet does have a tendency to be a little bit confusing because it's something you're supposed to do every day. And so what you're doing is one day you are, before you go to bed, you're framing the goals that you're going to set. You're not setting them, but you're framing them. And then each evening you're going to, so like in the morning you go through your list of framed goals and decide, am I going to set that as a goal for today? And so then in the evening you go back through that list and say, okay, the ones that I set, was I successful in accomplishing that? You know, so do you have one that's partially filled out and we can use it as an actual live example for you?
Yes. I have to put my phone down and grab it over here. Hold on.
Okay. For those who are not familiar with what we're talking about, there is a worksheet that is, if you go to the website and click either Start Here or the Bullseye, it'll take you to where all the worksheets are. And this one is called Mind Goal Management. And so what it is each evening you frame, and it's got spaces for four goals. You can use that extra paper and set more than that, but you frame four goals, you know. And so what is your goal? So give us one of yours. What was the goal?
This is on Tuesday the 20th. The first one was, I think that you're only going to ask one, right? Because I am confused.
Yeah, we're just going to do one at a time.
Okay. Okay, so my goal was to reconnect with my passion singing and sing a song and practice a song from my soul this time, not from my mind, my trying to figure it out. This song I'm working on.
All right. So the what is, so you want to see the end from the beginning. So in that goal, what is it that you now see? And that might be, I see myself singing this song from my soul.
What I love about having achieved this result is I love honoring and respecting the gift of song that God gave me and channeling this gift through me and bathe in the highest love I am. See, I can start one with the highest, purest voice.
Hold.
Okay.
Cecilia.
Right.
But you're going on and on and on and on and on. You've got one line on this form.
Okay. Oh, okay. So, well, I kind of write it out on a
Right, but,
so that's,
you know,
that's
and that's fine. Well, it's fine, except sometimes we, and it may not be, you know, the same for you, but sometimes I will make a goal so big and so complex and have so many parts to it that it almost becomes, oh, this isn't possible. So if you bring it back down and simplify it, you know, what I love about having achieved this result is that I am, you know, and just abbreviate that, I'm fulfilling the purpose God gave me, or,
yeah,
you know,
thanks.
Something.
Okay, I like
the how. I accomplished my chosen result by taking this action. What was your how? How are you going to do this?
Hang on, I got to shorten this. Book.
Okay, but okay. Do you see what I say? I mean, yeah, we can go on for a whole page and say what I love about this goal, and all of it can be absolutely true, but then you can overwhelm yourself with so much detail that it doesn't get accomplished.
Okay. I sang it, and I recorded it. That's how I did it, so I don't know.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so you were setting it before, so how you were going to accomplish my chosen result by practicing or by doing it, by recording it, whatever. Okay. When? I accomplished this result by, and you set
a
time. I'm going to do it.
2 p.m. Tuesday, July 20th, 2021.
Okay. Good.
Okay.
All right, so now that you have framed that goal, and so we've got spaces where you can frame four goals. And a lot of people will suggest that you use one of your goals as like a personal improvement. One of your goals maybe is your work. One of your goals is maybe for health or eating or nutrition, one of your goals. So use goals in four areas of your life. You know, on that sheet, but a lot of people do that.
What about five goals instead of four?
You can do that. I mean, that's
okay.
What I said. You can use another piece of paper and, you know, you can do 10 goals if you want to. But there again, you don't want to get so full, because what happens when, you know, like right now we're framing it for tomorrow.
Yes.
This is what
okay.
I plan to do tomorrow.
Evening. We're doing this
and
in
so,
the evening.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
Yes. Right?
You're framing it each night before you go to bed. You want to cancel all goals, conscious and unconscious, before you go to sleep. So that you rest
even
well. These aren't goals yet. You're framing them. It's a difference. It's kind of like, you know, I have a lot of people just use their phones, but I also have a paper planner, you know, the yearly planners or whatever.
Yes.
And so I write in it, you know, okay, my plan, all right, this was before we took the trip, was that on Sunday the 11th we would take Dad to meet my youngest brother. Then on and we would check into the hotel that night. On the 14th, we would check out of the hotel and drive to Kansas City to see Michael J. On the 17th, my brother would take my dad to the farm to meet my other brother, you know, and then so forth. So I had all 10 days what we needed to do each day, but I had it written in my planner. I did not set it as a goal until we came to that day. Like, you know, on
that's
the,
today.
July
that's
the 4th, there was no need of me setting all of those as goals because I couldn't do them until the 11th and the 14th and the 17th.
Okay.
And so it's framed, it's put in my planner, but it's not in my mind set as a goal yet. So this is what you're doing is each evening you're saying, okay, what are four or five or however many goals I want to accomplish tomorrow? And there may be other little things that happen all day long. You know, you don't want to frame a goal to eat breakfast and frame a goal to eat lunch and, you know, so forth. You want to set these as like your major goals that you want to accomplish for the day. So if you did 10 goals and then you got overwhelmed and didn't get but three of them accomplished, you know, you're going to be like, oh, my gosh, you know, I didn't even get half my goals done, you know. And so start off simple instead of trying to overload yourself with so many. These are going to be four or five or however many major goals that you want to accomplish in the next waking period. You don't set goals except what you can do in the next waking period. They can be plans, but they're not goals yet. So you've laid this out, and then you're going to ask Rukka, you know, at the bottom of those four, that list, it says, ask Rukka to assist me during sleep in having clarity and giving me feedback on achieving the goals that I have framed. You know, a lot of people say, you know, that aren't even doing this work, and they say, oh, go sleep on it. you know, and decide
yes.
in the morning. And it's kind of the truth. You
I
want
don't get any assistance, I feel like. I've done it like 3 nights in a row. Is that because I haven't done it before?
Well, no, not necessarily. It may just be, you know, it takes practice to actually learn to hear that inner voice, you know,
okay.
and what may happen is you frame these goals, and so then, you know, so you're kind of starting in the middle of the page, and
okay.
so you frame the goals, and then the next morning you get up and you look at them. Well, you might have on there, you know, that one of your goals is to clean out the shed, and you wake up the next morning and you go, you know what, this other you know, visiting my neighbor is more important than cleaning my shed. I'm not going to set that one as a goal today.
Oh, I see.
You know, so that's actually inner feedback. You know, your intuition, your
I
inner
see.
Tutor, Ruka,
yeah.
is letting
Thanks.
You know, yeah, this is a good goal. Go for it. Or, no, this isn't really necessary today. Let's put that back in the planner.
Thank you. I like that. I think I did get that direction to go on another
yeah.
journey this morning.
So you just, you know, you get up in the morning and look at your list and you'll get a inner guidance of, yeah, that one's still, that's good. Let's set number one as a goal. Number two as a goal. Number three, nah, that's not important. So we'll put that back in the planner. We're not going to set that one as a goal. Number four, yeah,
okay.
that one's a good one. So you kind of go through and you so it's got checkoffs there, you know, give yourself time to breathe
yeah.
and look at each intention, and are you going to, you know, is it linked to love? You know, you may have one there, I plan on going over and letting my neighbor have it today. And then you wake up and go, oh, that's not loving. You know, mark that one off. We're not doing that one. So you look at each one and say, is that one linked to love? And you check yes or no. And then this goal is in accord with my purpose. You know, there are a lot of things you know, you have a primary purpose to build a conscious, viable spiritual body, but then everybody has a secondary purpose. And there's a separate worksheet for figuring out what your purpose is here on this planet. And if we're doing things that are in accord with our purpose, we'll be pleased and happy and satisfied and all of those things. But if we're doing something that's not in accord with our purpose, then it'll be like a struggle or like, I've got to do this. I don't like it, but I've got to do it, you know. And so you want to make sure that your goals follow your purpose.
Okay.
And
I've done that sheet before.
Okay. And then you say, do I like this goal? You know, if you've set a goal and it's, you know, okay, my goal is to clean out the shed. No, I don't like this goal. I don't want to do this. You know, you might not want to set it. And then, so once you've done all that, then you say, I now commit with emotion to set this goal. And then you go through and you check off whether you're going to set it as a goal or if it's just going to stay in plans.
Can I break in?
And then, sure.
Just a little refinement there. Awesome explanation of it all. Remember that each time you set a goal, you're creating a stress. You want to
yes.
keep your stress at manageable levels. Otherwise, you're going to go into power person dynamics, and they're going to run your life instead of you. And sometimes there are things like the example Jeannie just gave of cleaning the shed. Well, I don't really like that, but it's in harmony with my purpose because when I get the shed cleaned, then I'm going to have the room for my studio when I want to do my art and develop my art. So I'm going to do something I don't really like to do because it serves my purpose. And there might be things
okay.
that I really want to and like to do, but they don't serve my purpose at all, and I'm going to cancel those goals. I'm not going to do them because they don't serve my purpose. So when you start to do that, you get to run have a life that's consciously created on purpose, and you keep your stress at management level at manageable levels, so you don't have to go into power person dynamics. And if you find yourself going into power person dynamics, that's where you cancel some goals. Well, hold on. You cancel the goal, so you got anything based in hostility or fear. So when you find yourself getting into a hostility or fear, you know that you're overwhelmed with stress, and you want to start canceling goals to get your stress back down to a level where you can get conscious and sane, where your mind quiets down. Remember, to heal, you got to be out of your mind. And the way you get out of your mind is you got to get it to shut up. The way you get it to shut up is by canceling the goals that run it. When there are goals to run the mind is quiet. But when there are 1,000 unconscious goals, oh, man, I'm torn in 1,000 directions, and I'm overwhelmed and I'm overstressed. And that's when I get pissy with people. That's when I harm myself. That's when I move into what they call a sympathetic dominant nervous state, where survival becomes the mode of operation. And while survival allows us to survive in the short term, in the long term, it kills us early. And you want to move out of that sympathetic dominant state into parasympathetic dominant, where energy flow is open, you're in abundance, you're in thrive mode rather than survive mode. And you keep your goals on track.
So what's the power person dynamic specifically? What does that mean? I mean, like, what
okay, well,
you've got
it coming up in the intensive. That's a session that we'll be doing as you go through the
okay.
intensive.
Okay.
In its simplest form, there are three things that it takes to install a power person dynamic in a mind. One of them is somebody, and it usually happens in childhood, although not necessarily. It can happen to full-blown adults. Somebody's got more power over your life than you have. They were not functioning as love. And you perceive the situation as survival. When those three things occur, the human energy field opens wide. It becomes like a sponge, and it sucks in every energy in the environment. So let's say a power person, maybe a parent, is in rage. They're just blah, all over us. It's survival. Oh, my God, if they don't take care of me, I'm dead. Or if I don't get acknowledgement from them, I psychologically don't survive. And so I open, and now I suck in all their rage. 20, 30, 40, 50 years later, guess what happens when any circumstance that resonates that dynamic is up in me? I'm going to fall into a fit of rage. Because once the power person dynamic is installed in a mind, and this is what runs the world, there are only three possible behaviors for a human being. And the three behaviors relate to the level of stress you're under. That's why you want to manage your stress so you don't get into an overwhelming load of stress and get into that full-blown power person dynamic. So when
okay.
there's no stress, the mind will automatic, the automatic decision system will cause you to do whatever you did to get along with your power person. When you become, when stress starts to elevate, you'll move into doing whatever you did to resist and survive with your power person. And then when you become ultra stressed, you'll do what your power person did to you that you hated the most. That's just
okay.
what runs the mind. And that runs the world. And as
okay.
you begin canceling goals so you reduce your stress, you reduce the need to jump into that, and you become more conscious of what's in your mind that needs to be healed. You keep applying the forgiveness process until you just delete all that power person energy, and now you get to be a conscious creator of your life. You create your stresses on purpose, you rock, and you create your life instead of replicating the past.
Yes, I hear what you're saying. So will this be
awesome.
in the sense that will this goal setting, goal management be in the
The mind goal management
yes.
workshop
no.
is not a part of this intensive,
oh.
but the power person
okay.
dynamic is. And the last 2 days, you got the whole workshop. So you just go back and download those two sessions from Monday and Tuesday, Monday and Tuesday sessions, and you've got the whole getting the stress you need. Stress, there it is.
Okay. Okay.
So that'll just be an add-on to the intensive.
Oh, I see. So I also have a quick question about the intensive. Between this, doing this goal management, between transcribing, which I honestly love to do, but it takes me like a minute detail, so I'm what year this is going to happen, I don't know. That I'll finish one of them. Between that and worksheets that come up like in my face, and I'm like, I just have to take the time to do this. So
yep.
between there, I've just completely not even looked at the videos anymore. There was just two of the intensive. I feel like I've just dropped the ball with it, but I don't want to drop
mm-hmm.
the ball. So
okay.
what can you help me get clarity on what I'm supposed
sure.
to be doing with that?
Sure.
Okay.
So here's my input. You've allowed your stress
okay.
to get too high. And that's when the mind, one of the states, you know, in that parasympathetic or that sympathetic dominant state that I talked about, One of the aspects of that is freeze. It's fight, fright, flight, fright, or freeze. And it sounds like you've gotten to enough stress where there's enough internal unresolved energy moving that you've gone into freeze mode. And so be gentle with yourself, slow down, breathe, and just gently do your work. You don't have to get it all done at once. Just do it a piece at a time. And let, you know, if when overwhelm comes, the mind tends to blah, oh God, I don't even know what to do. Well, that's part of that freeze mode. And that's just programmed in the nervous system. It's part of your generational history. It's part of the nervous system. And as you allow yourself the space to process out those things in your nervous system, then you'll get free of them. Now, remember the tool we used last week that helped to, remember how it opened your breath and opened your energy. So remember now, and so just follow me, be with me. So you take your right hand, you put it up on the left side of your head, just above your ear.
Yes.
And you pull your head over to your right shoulder, toward your right shoulder, just as far as it's comfortable. So your right hand is on the left side of your head. Your head's pulled over toward your shoulder. Now you look up. You turn your eyes upward as though you're trying to look up over the top of your head to the left. And allow yourself to take a couple of deep breaths. Couple deep breaths. And then take your left hand and put it the same place on the opposite side of your head, so you're now pulling your head over toward your left shoulder. And you're looking up as though you're trying to see almost behind your back. Your eyes are way up and to the right, and you breathe deep breaths. This stimulates and starts to take you out of the sympathetic dominant state or the freeze state into the parasympathetic dominant state. And that's where you move into thrive and creativity and let's rock and roll. And so remember to do that a couple times a day whenever you're feeling stressed. It's a really simple way to just reset the nervous system. And when you find yourself getting into conditions where your nervous system takes you out of the picture, like you're talking about, be gentle with yourself and recognize, so I've got some more work to do to clear this out of my nervous system. It's not something you have a choice over. But when you notice it's there, you can do some work to remove it. But if something in the environment, internal or external, moves, you don't have a choice over what moves in your nervous system. It's called the autonomic nervous system for a reason. It's automatic. And so if you notice you're there and it's not where you want to be, so this can be a real simple exercise. Just do both sides and notice what's happening with your breathing. Has anything changed?
I can tell you that a million things have changed with my breath because actually yesterday there was a show that I was listening to where a young woman from Oregon was sharing, and at the very end, when there was like 2 minutes left, when she quit sharing, this was in April in 2019, you had space to do a complete connected breath breathing exercise.
Right,
so,
right, cool.
So I wrote a heart on my paper, and inside it I put word for word what you said for the exercise of connected breathing. And yesterday I started doing that. And this morning before I sang, I did that. And it's so incredible. It's so powerful. Literally, that's my connected breathing that's helping me.
That's the idea. Use the tools.
Yeah. So I just interesting though. My thought is I've never learned this before in my life to breathe. Like this is the first time somebody ever focused on connected breathing or breathing for that matter. Even my voice coach, he'd just say, "You're not breathing." Okay, well, hello. I don't know how. Okay. So
I hear you.
It's not like really taught.
It is in this work.
It is in this work.
Yeah.
I have not found it anywhere else but this. And my body so desperately needs it. And
oh yeah.
It's connecting me to the love within me. That I'm sold. I bought 29 shares of it, you know, because that is something that I did not know how to connect to love within me, and this is going to be how it is. Okay. So that was a huge learning thing. Yeah.
Nice.
So I got clear.
Guess why the breath works.
Okay.
Guess why the breath works.
Because it's life.
If you go back, you don't have it, you're dead. That's true. But beyond that, if you go back into the original creation story, where the Greeks tell us that the Creator sent out his spirit. In Aramaic, it doesn't say the Creator sent out his spirit. It says the Creator sent out his breath. It's your direct connection to the active presence of the love of the Creator, in which you live, move, and have your being. But when you stop breathing, you disconnect from. When you start reconnecting, you go, oh, I'm connected. Doesn't matter where I am, what's happening, what's going on in my world, I can stay connected. But if the autonomic nervous system is set to go into flight, fright, fear, freeze mode, then you lose choice. As you do your work, you regain choice. It's a spiritual faculty.
I will be transcribing this show too. So, sweet. It goes deeper in me when I do that. I will have a lot of transcriptions for you, and I hope to have them in a couple months.
Sweet.
Cecilia.
Yeah.
Let's go back to your original question. We kind of got off into details about the mind goal management sheet.
Okay.
You started off asking about the top of it where it says check off from yesterday's sheet. Once you've gone through what we just did, you've named your goals and why and how and when, and then you've framed them, and then the next day you've set them. All right, so then you come back to the sheet, and at the top it says now in the evening. So you're going to look at the sheet that you filled out the night before, you know, when you framed your goals, and then in the morning when you set them, and you're going to look at goal number one. Was it successful? And if it was, you check it off. If it wasn't, then you go over there and you check off unsuccessful.
So I'm looking at the top of the sheet where you were first asking the questions about.
My
goal management, then it says each evening, check off yesterday. Then it says results and feedback for today's goals. That's confusing. Today's goals?
Okay.
Successful, canceled. Okay. Well, how can I do that for today's goals?
Okay, because, all right, hold on. So the night before, you framed them. So that's yesterday's sheet. But then this morning, you actually took what you had framed and you set it. So last night you framed them, but they were for today's goals.
Yes. Okay.
And so then you want to look at those goals and say, was it successful? Was it unsuccessful? Did I cancel it? You know, you might get started on it and go, you know, I'm not going to get this goal done today, so I'm just going to cancel it. I'm going to cancel my goal to get this done today. And then if you canceled it, did you return it to plans? So those are the four sections up there that you're going to check off.
Yes.
It's actually a separate sheet of paper because you filled that out the day before, and so now you're checking it off, and then at the bottom you're going to start over again with tonight framing goals for tomorrow.
Okay.
So it's like you start in the middle of the sheet. It's kind of confusing, but, you know, it's a cycle because you're going to do it every day, so you're going to take the goals you framed one day and set them as goals for today and mark them off whether they were successful or not, and then you're going to frame new goals for tomorrow. And so there's a section on there, too, that says note how you feel when you check unsuccessful and be conscious of your inner tension when you check unsuccessful. So you want to pay attention, you know, okay, I had set this as a goal and I was successful. You know, oh, I feel awesome, wonderful, joyful, whatever. This other one, it was unsuccessful and I feel, you know, terrible or crappy or, you know, whatever. Or you might feel, I'm okay, I put them back to plans. So I'm okay with it. So you just want to be aware of what you feel as you're checking each of those off and of any changing tensions when you cancel an unachieved goal. And then you want to cancel all conscious and unconscious unachieved goals before you go to bed.
Yes. Okay.
Give yourself time for inspirational reading. Give yourself 5 minutes to focus on love and connected breathing, and then you frame the goals for tomorrow. So it's like you start all over again. So it's like you have to begin it in the middle of the page, and then you go to the next page to continue.
Okay. If I have any confusion, I will listen to this show again. I'm going to try it without listening to the show. I'm going to try it tonight without listening. If I'm confused, I'll listen to this show again and get more clarity. So I want to know the difference between I put that I didn't achieve singing perfect pitch, la 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 la, and so I put I'm successful, but I didn't feel bad about it because I know, first of all, no singer in the world has perfect pitch all the time. So, okay. But
let me ask one thing though. When you named that goal, you didn't say I'm going to sing in perfect pitch.
No, that was that's my long version that I didn't read. Oh, my goal.
Okay, so you see, if you just abbreviated to what did we abbreviate down to that you were going to
achieve the gift sing. Of song, my purpose God gave me, which is singing.
Right. Okay, so that didn't say anything about that it was going to be perfect pitch. You're going to sing joyfully unto the Lord, whether the frogs like it or not.
Oh, thank you. I love that. I think the frogs will like it.
So in that respect, did you practice that day? Did you, had set a time? So that was successful.
Yes.
But like I said, if you go into this big detail, 3 pages long of what that goal is going to look like, it gets so muddled that then you get lost in, oh, I didn't achieve it.
Yes.
And
then
and
I thought,
so
well,
you did achieve that one.
That's how I looked at unsuccessful, just try and fail, try and fail, and try and fail, and try and fail, and then you succeed sometimes.
There's a difference between unsuccessful and failure.
Okay, yes.
There's when a baby's trying to learn to walk, it falls on its butt a whole lot. It was unsuccessful to take 3 steps without going down on its butt. But that didn't mean it failed.
Right, exactly. I got that.
Now, if some adult comes along and says, oh, you failed, you're never going to learn to walk, and then carries it the rest of its life, then it won't learn to walk.
Right.
So
right,
being
that.
Unsuccessful is part of the growth. It's part of the success.
Yes. I want to change that word. I learned that in a cognitive behavioral therapy, that slogan, try, fail, try, fail, try, fail, try, succeed. So it's the word that I just changed to try and endorse, try, endorse, try, endorse, and then,
Let's redefine success.
Okay.
Let's redefine success instead of I have to do this perfectly. How about if success were the progressive realization of a worthy goal?
Yeah, I like
that. So the child, we want the child to learn to walk. When it takes its first steps and falls flat on its face, it was successful because its nervous system learned something about walking. And the second time it fell on its face, its nervous system learned something else. And the third and the fourth and the fifth and the hundredth and the 4,000th time that it fell on its face, it learned something, so it was successful every time it fell on its face because it was in the progressive realization or accomplishment of a worthy goal. And you might want to also look at, I've got this goal to sing in perfect pitch, but nobody can sing in perfect pitch. That's called self-sabotage. I'm going to set myself up for something that's impossible. No, my goal is I'm going to sing with the best alignment with pitch that I possibly can, and I'm going to have a blast doing it. I'm in harmony with myself rather than setting myself up for failure.
Oh, thanks. I sure appreciate that clarity because I am so good at beating myself up with my singing.
I beg your pardon. Did you say you used to be good at beating yourself up?
Yes, I, at this point.
Well, I'm glad you're healing that one, young lady.
What did you say?
I say I'm glad you're healing that one.
Yeah, I am too, that this moment now is a new moment.
Yay.
And everything else is in the past, and I'm letting it go. Anything I said,
yeah.
I heard you the other day on a radio program that said somebody had something like a burn. I think it was Susan who had her hand burnt, and on her water that she had, the bottle, it said burn fat or something. And he's like, that gets in the water. Try to find a different bottle. You know, just the word
exactly.
Itself.
It's all vibration.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
It's all vibration.
So, yeah. Interesting. Very interesting. Anyway, I'm looking at the time. What time is it? 10:35. I will do the seminar first before I do any other goals, like worksheets or communication letters or anything like that.
I would suggest you listen to your intuition.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah. All your guidance.
I love it,
man, lady.
All.
Good work.
All right. Thank you.
It's nice to hear the way you're rocking.
Thank you very much. I like it too.
All right.
And my teacher notices it too. He's like, you should be sitting where I'm sitting. I said, because why, you're the teacher and I'm the student. You want me to be the teacher and you be the student? He said, no. He said, most of my students don't see how they are progressing and how far they've come. And I just want you to know that you've come so far since you first started. And
awesome.
He's just sitting there with a grin on his face, obviously, because he's been the one to help guide me there. And just he's a witness. But I know it's because of this work. I told him I'm doing this work and that's why there's been huge change in me. He's actually told me 3 months ago that he's taught me everything that he can, but he can't teach me anything about self-hate or anxiety or anything like that. So that's my work I have to do. That's when I found you again. And so I said, that's why I started doing this work. And he said, well, the two go together, your work with your forgiveness work and this, your singing, it all is going to come together. And,
nice.
And so, yeah, I said, if he wouldn't have said that there's no more he can teach me, I have to do inner work, I would have never been on this journey again. I'm sure I would have. But that, since that's like my number one love, of passion that I have, which is singing, and I always was, I knew I got to do inner work, found radical forgiveness. That's how I found you through. I mean, I knew you before that, but anyway, long story. So
notice.
So yeah, this is. Go ahead.
Notice how the universe is conspiring to support your healing.
Yes, I do.
It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Everybody has exactly the same gift. The universe is conspiring to heal every one of us. Some people never learn to receive the gift.
Oh.
So,
just because
nice work.
They don't know. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
yes.
Got to hang around long enough to build the brain cells.
Okay. And on that one, my daughter listens to me like for hours talking about my work with you. And I'm always like, that's good, Michelle. You're listening. I don't get anything. Maybe I get like 5%. I said 5% is amazing. Just that you listen, because I'm not asking her to listen. She says, maybe something will stick. I said, yeah, I think so, Michelle. One of these days you're building brain cells just because you choose to listen. I don't know, you know. So,
well, I think it's so cool that she's the one who brought you to this in the first place, way back, decades ago.
No, you said that the other time, and I had to say that it was me that brought her to that workshop.
Oh, okay.
Because
okay.
I needed a ride to Dayton, and yeah, no, but she's maybe something stuck then too.
Cool.
That she was there for a while. So, yeah. So, yeah, I'm really happy that she's, it's her choice. Yeah, so you don't have to listen to me. And she goes, no, something might stick. I don't get anything. It's all over my head. Something might stick. She's got it in.
Cool.
You know how much how that makes me feel so incredibly happy. Like she's getting these teachings that are going to help her have the best life she could possibly have sometimes because she's already building the brain cells. And as a mother, that's the best gift I could ever get is to hear she's open to.
I hear you. Doesn't get better than that.
No, it doesn't get better than that.
And as you do your work, she's getting it genetically too because she's linked to you genetically.
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, young lady, you have a blessed one.
Okay, thanks, everybody. Bye.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye. Well, Miss Jeannie, I got my job done.
Yeah, good. No, good. Good conversation.
Yes.
So we've got 19 minutes. We've got plenty of time. Somebody press one. Ask your question. I had gotten an email from a young lady. I was saying this at the beginning, but I don't think you heard it. And she just kind of run across the work, and she was needing assistance with the worksheet. So I gave her the number and told her to call in. I was hoping she would do that. But so anything that we can assist you with.
And the number of principles that have been covered in the last 50 minutes are, I mean, what Jeannie covered and the principles that were just opened up, I can't imagine that, you know, if we've been in somebody's hometown, we're up on the platform of the local library and they were in the audience, that there's anybody listening that if we were in that local venue and you were sitting there as Jeannie and I walked off the stage, I can't imagine there's anyone that's listening to this last section of the show wouldn't walk over to either myself or Jeannie and say, well, Michael, Jeannie, what about? That's the purpose of this show. You're out there listening. What's the what about we can support you with and fill in the blanks? What's on your mind? And if there's nobody with anything on your mind, then Miss Jeannie, I'm still out here doing errands. I've unloaded everything out of the trailer and gotten rid of that. And if we don't have any other questions or what have you, I've still got some errands to do. So I think we'll just say thank you, everybody, for your listening ear, and we'll close out the show. If we don't have a hand up, then last call.
We had a hand just go up.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. I didn't want to stop.
808,
hey.
You're on the air.
Miss Roma.
Did I hear you say I'm so glad?
I am so glad, yes. I'd rather do every instant we can on this show, but if there's not a conversation to be had, I've got 1,000 things on my plate. I'm going to go do them. You know, there's so much. There's so many plates spinning right now with the shift that's happening from, you know, being out there traveling to online work and all the it's like the plates at the circus. All the plates are spinning, high speed, fast forward. So what's on your mind today? How can we support you? How do you be?
Well, I'm good. I had a weird, sort of a nightmare, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it wasn't terrifying, but it was bad enough that it woke me up, and I was in my dream. I was missing a plane, and I woke up realizing that it was a metaphor for having missed out on relationship in my life. And I've been aware of and looking at it for years, but I think it began, you know, in my career. I mean, I thought I had a wonderful, successful career, not as successful as it might have been. I turned down a leading role in 1776. But I was shy. I've always been shy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a way of shutting life out.
Yeah. So maybe there's some grief to be forgiven?
Oh, yeah. I am.
The loss of what might have been?
And I also realize that missing out on my life, it's kind of a global situation that we're in, too. Because, you know, I can't help but feel that if Al Gore had been such a gentleman in the year 2000, that we might not be in the global situation that we're in now. But we're definitely in it.
Yeah, it's kind of bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah, and it was interesting for me that my own personal feeling of missing out on my life because I was shy reflects on the global situation. Somehow not stepping forth, you know. I get so inspired when I sometimes on the internet I hear about these young people who, some of them aren't so young, but there are certain people on this planet who are stepping forward to heal the situation on planet Earth. And one of the physical sensations I had when I did this worksheet was that of trying to pull in. It's like, you know, in biblical days when the fishermen would throw their nets out into the ocean, and then the nets would get filled with fish. And it's like the sensation I had this morning when I was doing this was that I was pulling this net, trying to pull the net back to get the fish out, to get the catch. Mm-hmm. And
mm-hmm.
and it was so heavy that I thought, oh, my gosh, I need more people to help me pull on this. And then I realized that the people on this call and the people doing this work, they're my team. You know, we're all part mm-hmm. of a team. And when when each one of us does our own personal work, like, you know, what I woke up and did the worksheet on, so, you know, on 6A after I did the worksheet was, I now feel calm and peaceful. It was so beautiful. And I realized that one of the realizations I had, you know, that lifetime in China where I starved to death as a baby,
mm-hmm.
I realized that was an agreement that I made before I took incarnation, which actually gave me mana that I need to extend this lifetime beyond the normal life expectancy in order to break through that rigid expectation that humankind has of our life expectancies.
Well, you got my support.
Yeah, to live to be 150 or 200 or however.
Yay.
And, yeah, so it was a very productive. When I got to the end of the worksheet, and a few days ago you had mentioned very offhandedly that the phrase in number 7 on the worksheet of perfect love is Rachma and Kuba.
Yeah.
I don't know. You remember mentioning that?
Oh, yeah, that's it. That's what those two filters set in Aramaic boils down to, perfect love. Yeah.
Yeah, those things. And I couldn't, it was really interesting because the only one at the time when I had that awareness, the only one that I could remember was perceptions. I couldn't remember intentions. And I've that double word phrase in my heart and mind for 30 years. And yet this morning, for some reason or other, the only word I could remember was perception. I called in and Dr. Tim said that perceptions are Kuba. Is that correct?
Correct. Kubha is over perception, Rachma is over intention. And it sounds like you're cleaning up another level of your mind in regard to understanding that. And as you're cleaning that up, remember confusion's part of the process. Oh, where'd that piece of information go? I know that. Oh, I'm clearing myself up for another level of understanding.
A deeper level. Because I'm using those and understanding them, but I didn't really get which part was the brain base and which part was the forehead, the frontal lobes. And Dr. Tim helped me with that, too. I'm going to have to study this because that was just half an hour ago. I got the answers.
Roma, I sent you an email with the link to the Getting the Stress You Need, the filters over the mind.
Oh, thank you.
So you can look in your email, and it's in there. Uh-huh.
What did you say, Michael? Now, I also finished with a question in my mind. I wondered who wrote the dialogue between Jesus and Herod when he said, "What is truth?" And I wondered, you know, who made that conversation up? I mean, where did that conversation come from that people have been reading in their Bibles for centuries? Where did it come from? Who was present? Who wrote that? Do you ever wonder that? That's probably, that's one of the most profound places in the Bible. The question is, what is truth? I think that's one of the most profound questions. I mean, I instinctively know what truth is. I have no question. I think it's probably impossible to put it into words. It's more of a vision than an idea. It's more of a light.
Perception. Well, if you go to the Course in Miracles says the truth can't be spoken in words. I mean, words are symbols of symbols, twice removed from the truth. You're never going to get truth from symbols of symbols.
Twice removed, yes.
You know, an event happens, and we make up a word for it, and then we name who's involved in the event. So now we're two generations away from the actual event, and the mind's trying to represent it as something it can own, and you can only get it when you're out of your mind. The profound blessing of knowing how to collapse perception so that you can be out of your mind, even if it's just for an instant.
I sometimes forget to tune into the show, and yesterday I remembered with 2 minutes left, and the show was gone.
Yeah, we've got a lot on our plate, and there weren't any questions, and I was finished with the monologue aspect of it, so we just closed the show up.
Don't say that to make you feel guilty. I just say that to let you know that it really does matter. And I know that times are so hard for people. Right now, times have been, I mean, I'm getting better, and I'm visualizing that we're all getting better together. I mean, I'm coming out. I think we're beginning to come out of this horror of COVID-19. But I think that that's why there are fewer, because people are going through very deep, deep, profound challenges. That's just my perception. You know, I always try to find meaning. Like the other caller, the girl who was talking about setting goals, I can see that she's the type that wants to find meaning in things, too. And my mind is habituated to wanting to know what does it mean. You know? And, you know, it's important to just kind of let go and get into our physical bodies, into our physical sensations, and into our hearts, and down into our guts. This morning when I did this worksheet, I had the sensation of pulling these perceptions, this regret and the fear and the pain and the loss and the sadness and the grief and the terror of that we're all brought up with, the fact that I have missed out on so much of my life because I was so shy. And I actually found myself pulling strands of all those emotions, grief and all that, out of my gut, literally out of my body. So all of these things are anchored in our nervous system because they come originally from a thought that we're having in the mind. And that's part of the nervous system, and it extends throughout the entire body. So every time we do a worksheet, we are clearing our bodies as well as our minds and hearts and souls of all of this
trash.
That's
the idea.
It doesn't belong inside of us. We have, and I'm looking forward to, oh, where is it written? It's the next one. I am looking forward to...
Your voice is cutting out a little bit.
Oh, yes. I'm looking forward to... Oh, shoot. Where did I write? I write so many things on these sheets. Anyway, I'm looking forward to living in a world where we can trust... Oh, yeah, I got some crank callers this morning. And I got it written. I'm looking forward to being able to hear the telephone ring and know that I can trust who's trying to call, who's reaching out to me, instead of it being one of these stupid phone calls. I got two of them this morning, and one at like 4 o'clock in the morning and one at 5 o'clock in the morning, and they were telling me that they had discovered it was the U.S. government who discovered that there was,
yeah,
that I was... You know, all this crap.
Yeah.
And
silly
luckily
stuff.
I know how to block these calls. But they went to the trouble of calling me twice with a different phone number.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm looking forward to a world where we're all living in, where we can trust one another and ourselves to be filled with the joy and peace and love of truth.
I'm with you on that.
Thank
Amen.
You. I'm glad I pressed one before you disappeared.
All right, young lady. You have a blessed one.
Okay. All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Aloha. So thank you for joining us, everyone. We appreciate the opportunity to engage in conversations, especially in a time when sometimes people are at this stage with this whole COVID thing, locked down and restricted, and we can open up a conversation and connectedness and intimacy and healing. So we're honored and delighted that each of you is with us to be part of this process, and we hold the space for this to be the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. And blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with Dr. Michael Rice and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here for 2 hours every Monday through Friday from 12 noon to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more information on Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.